The Adonis Audio Experience. This episode is brought to you by Verdad. V-E-R-D-A-A-D. Which is a play on two meanings. Verde in Spanish means green. And verdad in Spanish also means truth. Their mission is to help heal as many people as possible. The biggest protection you have against a virus and other ailments is a healthy mindset and a healthy immune system. That is why Verdad is here to bring you the green truth. You can visit www.verdad.com to learn more about their products and services. One that I recommend is signing up for their upcoming retreats, and also for you that need pain and stress management, there is a whole flower hemp product that I strongly recommend. It offers many benefits for the mind and body. Of course, eat your greens and lots of fruits. And don't forget www.verdad.com for more information. How you guys doing today on this lovely Saturday? I recently watched The Last Dance, and for anybody who's a sports fan, this is like, I mean, just much needed entertainment. You know, I mean, I grew up as a Knicks fan, so full disclosure, I'm a Knickerbocker. I bleed orange and blue for life. You know, the Knicks inception of, 1948 and those 70s, early 70s Knicks with Frazier and Reed and the Busher and all these legends. Bill Bradley, can't forget about him. Obviously, Earl the Pearl and so many others. Those are the people I represent. Those are the memories. Obviously, you can't forget about the 90s Knicks, mid-90s with Patrick Ewing, the Hoya legend and the New York legend. John Starks, a New York legend. Just legendary battles. And obviously, you can't forget about the dunk, which you see in the posters everywhere where John Starks is running towards the hoop. Dribble penetration, boom, jamming right over Horace Grant, Scottie Pippen, and yours truly, Michael Jordan. Now, speaking of Jordan, it's interesting because in the 90s, I had this kind of love-hate relationship with Michael Jordan. Hate the Bulls, but love the presence of Jordan, at least a healthy respect for Jordan, because Jordan was just a person that was so determined. He just had this drive that was just unparalleled, and you could not match it with anything. And at the end of the day, he was the greatest competitor. So as the greatest competitor, you just had a healthy respect for what he brought to the game each and every day. And I mean, I gotta be honest, watching The Last Dance just brought so many memories reminiscent of all those times that Jordan just shattered our hearts. Like that time he came back from retirement, the first retirement in 95, and he comes to the Garden, his third game back. That was a legendary moment in sports history. The double nickel, where Michael Jordan comes to the Garden, where he loved to perform, and he drops 55 double nickel on the Knicks. And it's almost like you can't hate on the guy. The guy just outworked everybody. And, you know, those are the things that you just learn to appreciate about Jordan. And, you know, for those who've seen The Last Dance, and I imagine everyone listening to this has seen at least episode 1 and episode 2, and this Sunday you're going to get episode 3 and 4, I believe. And it's actually funny because I don't have cable, So I'm over here texting friends and neighbors and asking them for their Optimum login and, hey, can I log in? I don't have cable. I can't get access to this content right now. So what I ended up doing is downloading ESPN Plus. So I guess that's a plug for them and a plug for Disney. You know, I ended up downloading that to watch the series because this is much needed content that I had to watch. You cannot miss this for anything. And in watching The Last Dance, it's so funny because what I think made Jordan just so different compared to anyone else in the sports game is that he was willing to work harder than anybody. There was a interview where he talks to his coach and at North Carolina, Coach Dean. He's like, you know, I'm going to be the best player on this team. And he said, well, you certainly got to work for that. You know, you got the skill, you got the athletic ability, but man, you to be the best, man, you're going to have to put in that work. And Jordan outworked everybody. And, you know, James Worthy comes out and says, oh, you know, I was the best player on the team for about 2 weeks. And Jordan just came out and outworked everybody. There was stories where he would be in James Worthy would be in a full sweat, 2-hour workout. He's done. And Michael Jordan would be pushing him back into the court to do some one-on-one drills and to keep pushing each other to get better and better and better. And that's just what Jordan brought to the game. And, you know, he did it with humility. You know, as you can see, what's vastly different between Jordan and, you know, these new guys, and it really shed some perspective on the new players today, is that, you know, Jordan always had this sense of humility where you asked him about future success that he didn't achieve yet, he'd tell you, you know what, hopefully we'll get there. We're definitely going to put in the work, and it's definitely a team game. It's a team sport. There's he's hoping to contribute to the team and add to this overall team concept. And you always heard that throughout the interviews, throughout the public appearances and all that kind of stuff. And it is vastly different from today where, you know, today you got LeBron James and, you know, don't get me wrong. And LeBron, I'm sorry. You're my man. I love your game. I've been watching you since high school. The only thing that I'm a little conflicted with LeBron and just looking at just pure greatness with the Last Dance series out right now is that, you know, LeBron, I think, claims too many things too early. And what I mean by that is that, you know, the whole chosen one, I get it. Athletically, you're more gifted than your contemporaries. And, you know, you feel that you should have it all. And you know what? Rightfully so, I get that. But at the end of the day, you still have to show the results, especially when you're going up against legends like Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan. And the difference is that I feel like LeBron toots his own horn a little too much. And I felt that when Michael Jordan came into the scene, it wasn't Michael Jordan telling you that he was the greatest. It was everyone else saying that he was the greatest. And those are the two biggest differences that I see, is that in Michael Jordan gets drafted in 94, and then he plays for the Olympic team, which at the time the Olympics was made up of amateur players. So he played on that team in 84, and the head coach of that team, the name escapes me right now. He was the coach of Indiana. The name escapes me right now, but it'll come back to me. But he pretty much said that Michael Jordan is the greatest player that he's ever seen in his life. And this is 1984, where Michael Jordan is 20, 21 years old. And then later in the document, in the documentary, you have interviews with Isaiah Thomas, legends, okay, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird. Larry Bird said that that 86 Celtics team that he played on had several seven-footers. He was the small forward at 6'10", 6'11". Bird said that if there was any team that he was on that Celtics team that was the greatest, it was that 1986 Celtics team. That was the greatest team he's ever been on. And Larry Bird, on the record, says, you know what? The performance that Jordan did put on in 1986 is the greatest performance he's ever seen in his life at that time and in future, even current state. And it just goes to show you that when your rivals are saying that you're the greatest, that's the true testament of your greatness. It's not you tooting your own horn saying that I'm the greatest. It's you going in there on the court, outworking everybody, and just becoming the greatest by your sheer will, by your work ethic. And then ultimately is the results. Like, Jordan had six championships, 6-for-6, never reached a game seven in the NBA Finals. So when he got to those championships, he was efficient. And obviously, you know, you need a team to win. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of people get into this debate about, oh, Jordan needed Scotty and this and that. Jordan never denies that he needed Scotty. In Jordan's Hall of Fame speech, he says it. You can never mention Jordan without Scotty in any of those championships. He says it. So it's like that argument's a moot point. He's telling you, listen, I needed Scotty just like anything, okay, to win this. And we needed the team. We needed Phil. We needed everything, which is why in 98, when Jerry Krause, you know, just, you know, mental midget syndrome, he just didn't want to, you know, sign Phil Jackson, although he gave Phil Jackson his start. He didn't want to move forward with that. And, you know, kind of went from there. And then they had this whole Scotty Jordan battle where Scotty was saying that he was going to be the best player on the Bulls. And this was in 87. And then he realized that he was just a rook. You got Charles Oakley in the behind-the-scenes footage, punking Scotty, telling him, you know, letting him know he's the rook. He's the punk, pushing him around, smacking him up. And it's funny, in today's standards, that would be considered bullying, right? But, you know, it was really a hierarchy that you had to follow. And Charles Oakley, I mean, let's be frank, he's the protector. He's the enforcer. So he protected Jordan in those battles. When Jordan was, you know, Jordan played in an era that was probably the most physical in NBA history compared to any other era. And I think people don't have an appreciation for that, because the things that you can do in Jordan's era, you just could not humanly do today. You cannot do it today. It is, you won't have a place in the NBA, I'll tell you that much. And so that's the other part that people just don't take into consideration when it comes to Jordan. But, you know, there was this whole thought that there was no appreciation between the Jordan-Scotty relationship. And I think that on Jordan's side, he knows who he is, and I think he's comfortable in his own skin. I think Scotty, and we'll see this later in the series, it kind of developed his story and his maturation and all that kind of stuff. But Scotty just didn't have the confidence that Jordan had. Okay, just flat out, great basketball player, world of talent. And if he came out in today's league with that athleticism, that dribbling ability and things like that, you know, could he look like a version of a better version of maybe Andre Iguodala? Sure, absolutely. And for those NBA fans, you know Andre Iguodala. And when he was with the Sixers, he was all world, okay? Then he went to play off the bench with the championship Golden State Warriors. And when, you know, when you got a guy like that coming off the bench, of course you're going to win some championships, right? So I digress. Pippen, to me, would have had that kind of style, maybe better ball handling skills than Andre Iguodala. But nonetheless, I think that he would have been a similar kind of player. I don't think Pippen would have transcended the game entirely the way maybe Grant Hill. Because if you remember, Grant Hill was what LeBron James came and did. People forget about Grant Hill because he got hurt. And he hurt his foot, never recovered from that. But if you ask NBA players throughout the league who know the league, they'll tell you Grant Hill was just an all-world player. He was just an absolute assassin. He could play almost every position pretty much. He handled the ball like a point guard. He could block shots. He could dribble. He could shoot. He could do all that. And when you look at Scottie Pippen, you know, maybe Scottie and Grant Hill is a better comparison, and Iguodala maybe is a third in that rank. So you got Scottie, Grant Hill, and Iguodala, right? But at the end of the day, it's still not Michael Jordan. So the whole Scottie and Jordan thing, Jordan always is going to admit that he needed Scottie, and that's clear as day. And, you know, I think if anyone had a complex, we'll see later in this series as it develops, but, you know, you're going to see where, you know, Scottie just, you know, had a growing process. And eventually he became his own star. He went to the Portland Trailblazers, got paid, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And you know, the other piece to this Bulls dynasty is obviously the crazy, energetic wild card, which is Dennis Rodman. And a lot of people don't appreciate Rodman. Rodman is a freaking freight train. Rodman was probably the best athlete on that team. He was probably a better athlete than Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. He couldn't dribble the ball for shit. He couldn't shoot the ball for shit. But he could run coast to coast. He could block shots. He could score. He could get rebounds over guys like Shaq. Dennis Rodman at 6'10". Was defending Karl Malone, Shaquille O'Neal, and other centers in the league. He was leading the league at 6'10 in rebounds several years in a row. He played with the Bad Boys Pistons and was an enforcer. And then with the Bulls, he was just he was so energetic that when he went to the bench, he had to get on a bicycle machine just to stay warm because he could not stop moving. And That just gives you some insight in the kind of guy he was. So, you know, like I said, man, it takes a team to win. And Dennis Rodman served his purpose on that team. And to wrap it all up, you had the Zen Master, which is Phil Jackson. Phil just gets it, man. Phil gets people. Phil gets emotion. And when you talk about the game of basketball, basketball is all about it's controlled aggression. Any sport is about controlled aggression. Football, you name it, it's about controlled aggression. And Phil understands how to keep that psyche in check to get the most out of people. And I think that's why Michael Jordan had a healthy respect for Phil Jackson. He just did. You know, Michael looked up to Phil and he looked for his advice. And that's why Michael said, listen, if Phil Jackson's not the coach in 97-98 season, I'm not going to play. So you're just going to break up the team, because if Phil is not the coach, then there's nothing here. And that's just a testament to Phil Jackson. And hence, Phil Jackson knew that 97-98 season was his last year, so he called it the last dance. And, you know, it's just no surprise that Phil Jackson came out with such a theme for such a team. And The Last Dance it was, and there was a lot of, you know, things early on in that season that was pretty precarious with Scottie Pippen and his, you know, disputes with upper management and not playing, you know, the first third of the season and all that. And the Bulls having to go through their struggles in the early on. And, you know, Jordan, he's not the same Jordan in the 80s, because, man, that 80s and early 90s Jordan was just a breath of fresh air, man. That energy, that style, that swagger, the tongue out, just dunking on people. And then just, you know, even in the 80s and 90s, he had the fadeaway. You know, people think he just developed that later. What he did was that he perfected it later. He got the fadeaway so good, because he was no longer able to just blow right by you, that you could be smothered all over Jordan and he'd still find a fadeaway to shoot over you, and he'd shoot it on his back if he needed to, and he'd make the shot. But nonetheless, Phil Jackson was able to pull that team together as the Zen Master, and it was just amazing. So I hope you guys watch it. Stay tuned to it. I mean, it is definitely a great thing to watch. That's my message for today. Again, shout out to all my diehard Knicks fans. You know, we don't have this same history as far as Jordan is concerned, but then again, nobody does. And so it's nothing to feel bad about. We're still part of the fabric of the NBA and its rich history. And we have our own history to talk about too. But in the meantime, this is about The Last Dance. This is about the Bulls. But more importantly, this is about Jordan, his greatness, and just seeing how teams come together and having that behind the scenes look, which is absolutely exciting. So I can't wait to see episode 3 and 4. So enjoy your weekend, stay out of trouble, stay well, stay safe, wear your mask when you're out in public, and I'll talk to you next time. Peace out.